All right. Well, that was kind of fun. Hey, tonight we're going to do something a little bit differently. I'm going to introduce a couple of things to y'all, that I think are great resources. And, you know, kind of like physical food, we like to change up our diet every now and again, right? I know I've recently been going through some changes in my diet due to some extenuating circumstances, having some dental things going on, and so it requires kind of introducing some new things, but still that they become nutritious. Well, you know what? I think the analogy works really well when describing our spiritual appetite, too, that it's just hard to eat the same thing day after day after day. For every meal, you would have the same thing. Now, dogs, maybe they're a little different in that our dog eats a lot of the same food. He's ate a lot of the same food since the day we got him, and you know what? He's still eating the same food. But we do vary it up occasionally. Mm-hmm. We put some little treats in there or different things just to kind of keep them going. But, you know, spiritually, I think we have to learn to eat differently. We have to learn to enhance our diet with other types of things that will really keep us hungry and really keep us stimulated. And so tonight I want to introduce a couple of things that I've used over the years that I have found to be helpful to kind of keep that journey energized and strengthened and alive. So that, you know, learning the Bible and being a part and in this relationship with God is not always such a serious and such a somber occasion, but that we can really have some fun with it and enjoy it, and that learning is an exciting adventure. But you know, we've got a role in that. We've got to, you know, change it up a little bit ourselves. So the first resource that I wanted to introduce is a little book I picked up. Gosh, it's been many, many years ago. I couldn't even tell you when. I don't even really know where I saw it. I could have seen it at the grocery store or something. It's called Fascinating Facts of the Bible. And it kind of drew my attention because, you know, as Bible students, we're always interested in learning different aspects and different perspectives on things. And, you know, as I started to look at this, I thought, well, you know, this is a lot of information. It's not just trivia information. It's really, you know, things that help to stimulate our interest and satisfy some of those other things within us. And, here's an example. The shortest verse in the Bible. Well, that's located in John 11:35, and it consists of two words. Any idea?
But God?
Jesus wept.
Oh, that one.
That's an entire verse. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You know, you've seen this on a lot of different shows. I think The Chosen probably promotes this thought because you see something related to a symbol that's related to Christian people. It's a fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fish was used as both a secret code and an anti-Roman symbol by those who were persecuted in the early days of Christianity. Well, why a fish? Good point. Not as one might expect, because in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Rather, it was because of each of the letters in the Greek word for fish, I-C-H-T-H-U-S, are the same as the initials in the phrase, and I'm going to say it, but forgive me for my pronunciation. Issus Christos Theo Huis Sotur, which means Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is Savior. And so the next time you see a fish symbol, you'll know that that's a declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who is our Savior. Very interesting, huh? Yeah. A lot of things in here that, you know, we obviously don't are going to take the time to go through this because I have another couple of resources that I want to, you know, have a look at. But I think this was one that I just was drawn to and, you know, at different times have gone to. Like, here's some common phrases that people use where they might say, out of the mouth of babes. That's found in Psalm 8, verse 2. Or how about, there's nothing new under the sun? Ever heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
That's from Ecclesiastes 1:9. And many will be called, but few chosen. Yeah, that's from Matthew 20, verse 16. And so to kind of wrap this up in this particular resource, let me find one more here. Oh, here's a good one. Who had the longest name in the Bible? I always thought it was Methuselah, right? Well, according to Isaiah 8:1, that unique honor belongs to the son of the prophet, Mahershalal Hashbaz. Now, how do we say that? Mahershalal Hashbaz. So, you know, without going too deeply into this thing, it's just a wonderful resource, I think, again, to satisfy that appetite that we have, and we have to kind of keep ourselves stimulated to be energized, and that God, you know, he continues to teach us. I mean, God knows who we are and what we need at any given point in time. And this next resource, maybe you've heard of, maybe you have it in your library. It's entitled Strange Scriptures That Perplex the Western Mind. And what this book does is it goes through the Bible in many different places and talks about things that might be misunderstood or things that aren't completely understood. Now let's look at here in Psalm 103:5. Got your Bible there? Otherwise, you can listen along. But in Psalm 103:5, it says, "Who satisfies thy mouth with good tidings, so that thy youth is renewed as the eagles." Now, just kind of as a surface reading, you know, average person, I look at that and say, I have no idea what that means. But the fact that in the life of the eagle is given as a promise to the righteous. You know, eagles live to a very great age, and as he grows old, his beak becomes so long that he could no longer eat. And so he flies away by himself to the top of a cliff and pecks on a rock until his bill falls off, after which a new bill grows in its place. While without the use of his bill, the bird also loses his feathers because of fasting. After the new bill grows and he again takes food, new feathers start growing so that he looks and appears like a young eagle going forth in a new covering with youthful beauty and strength. And that's how we get that phrase, the youth, thy youth is renewed as the eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That was really kind of neat. And so there's a lot of these that maybe you don't even know you have questions about until you start looking through something like this. And then you find out, you know what, I never really did understand that particular thing. So let's look at this one, Isaiah 49:16. These are also referred to as Orientalism, or manners and customs of the Bible. Many of you who have been around for many years, or maybe even recently, are familiar with some of these things. But I'd encourage you to break some of them out again. In Isaiah 49:16, it talks about God has engraven, or I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. And so, you know, the Bible was an Eastern book, right? It wasn't written in America. And so this is another scripture reference that's more easily understood in light of the East, where tattooing is very common and useful in countries where comparatively few people have learned to read or write. Isaiah has a beautiful picture in his mind, a picture of a mother and her son, her boy far away. Neither mother nor son know one letter from another, yet the mother longs for some token to remind her of her absent boy. She has only one means at hand, and she takes advantage of that. She goes to a man who tattoos and has something pricked on the palm of her hand that will constantly remind her of the son she loves and longs to see. It will never wash off or wear away, but will remain on her palm as long as her life lasts, where she can see it as she goes about her work. Isaiah represents Jehovah as speaking to Israel first, but to us also. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion upon the son of her body? Yea, she may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And that's the kind of care, and that's the kind of concern that God has for each and every one of us. There's another resource. The gentleman's name is James Freeman. It's called Manners and Customs of the Bible. Maybe you've seen this before. Maybe you have it on your bookshelf. It's another, I think, valuable resource for us to be able to stimulate our hunger. And another way to learn that makes it more interesting, I think, than just maybe reading that same section of the Bible over and over and over again. And, you know, there's many subjects that are handled in the Bible. One of them in particular they talk about from the book of Ruth. It says she went, chapter 2, verse 3, it says, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reaper. And so, you know, one might wonder, well, what the heck does that mean? You know, they gleaned in the field after the reapers. Well, a greater understanding is that the Israelites were commanded by their law to be merciful to the poor. The corners of the field were not to be reaped. If a sheaf should accidentally be left in the field, it was to be allowed to remain there. And then this grain in the corner and these odd sheaves in the field were for the poor. The story of Ruth is most beautiful, the most and a most beautiful illustration of this law. Reference is supposed to be made to this custom in Job 24:10. They take away the sheaf from the hungry. So that kind of gives us a little broader understanding of some of these particular things. Maybe somewhere along the line it does help to broaden your understanding of, you know, Eastern culture. And, you know, just the way, and that helps us, I think, to understand even more so the things of God. I mean, we aren't talking necessarily about doctrinal truths here. We're talking about joy in being able to learn the things of God and, you know, resources that, you know, allow us to do that. In the back of this particular book, there happen to be scripture references and even subject matters. Like, you know, let's say, you know, you wanted to look at something about the Jewish tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant or the something to do with the temple or something to do with the priest, the high priest. What do these people do? I mean, so many different things. The feasts feast times, Feast of the Harvest, or Pentecost, Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. Let's look at that one. That is 161. It's worked out here pretty good. 161. Let's see if I can do this here. Great Day of Atonement. Yeah, this is awesome. This is in Leviticus. But we also are familiar with this day. It's that high holy day when the priest entered one time into the Holy of Holies and offered sacrifice of blood atonement for the sins of Israel. And then they sent the scapegoat out. But what happened is it took place on the 10th day of the 7th month, Tishri, which then this particular resource corresponds to October. It was a great day of solemnity, especially designated and kept in a fast day. And in later times, was known by the name of the East. You know, this is a really interesting record. And if you ever, and see what I'm saying is this stimulates hunger. So now, you know, we're talking about the Day of the Atonement. This is right around September 11th, where this particular feast occurs. You've got a number of things going on here. You've got the Day of Atonement. You've got Rosh Hashanah. You've got Yom Kippur. Now, we aren't going to explain all those things right now, but you also, in the middle of all that, have the birth of Jesus, right? And that started on Tishri 1. You know, Jesus Christ, our promised seed, is such a fabulous piece of work, as well as Jesus Christ, our Passover. But this context, we're talking about Jesus Christ, our promised seed, where it talks about the birth of Jesus, all the things that happened. And that happened to go on during this particular season of the year, correct? September 11th, 3 BC. That was right during this whole series of events that were going on. And so on this particular day, the high priest, he was clad in plain white linen garments, brought for himself a young bullock for a single for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, and for the people, two young goats for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. The two goats were brought before the door of the tabernacle, and by the casting of lots, one was designated for sacrifice and the other for a scapegoat. The high priest then slaughtered the bullock and made a sin offering for himself and his family, and then he next entered the most holy place for the first time, bearing a censer with burning coals, with which he filled the place with incense. Taking the blood of the slain bullock, he entered the most holy place the second time, and there sprinkled the blood before the mercy seat. For those of you who have been listening to Ken's teachings, this should ring some bells, because he has talked about who Jesus is and what Jesus represented, and actually what this represented. Because you remember on the day of the crucifixion, when he gave up the ghost, the veil did what? It tore in two, right?
From the top down.
From the top down. And so it gave mankind full access and entry into the Holy of Holies. Up to this point in time, you could only have one person that went into the Holy of Holies once a year. See? That's part of the significance. So, you know, what I'm saying is these resources, they stimulate things within us. Like for me, just reading that, it makes me think of, you know, Jesus Christ, our promised seed. Because if I want a little bit more depth, a little bit more accuracy, a little bit more perspective, then I can go to some of these other resources and continue to get a greater scope of understanding of a particular topic or a particular subject. So if you don't have any of these resources, Strange Scriptures That Perplex the Western Mind, or Manners and Customs in the Bible, or, you know, other resources that are available out there, and there's a multiplicity. If you've ever been in a Christian bookstore, you know exactly what I mean. Sometimes kind of hard to pick and choose. And also another resource that I use on occasion, and I'm sure you do too, where we compare different texts of the Bible, different versions of the Bible. And I thought, just in closing, this would be kind of fun just to read a little bit of this one. I've never seen it before, but it's called Y'all Version.
Y'all.
Y apostrophe A-L-L Version. And so they're saying it uses you and y'all to help modern English readers see the distinction between singular and plural in the biblical text. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I just want to read a little bit of this because I think you're going to... You'll kind of chuckle when you hear this. I sure did. Now, I'm not recommending you go out and buy a version, but or start using this in your teachings or whatever, but it's fun to just look at these different translations. So, anyway, Ephesians 4:17. It says, "Now I say this and testify in the Lord that y'all must no longer walk as the rest of the ethnic groups who also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves up to sensuality to practice every type of impurity with greediness. But that's not how y'all learned about Christ. Verse 21, if indeed y'all heard him and were taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, y'all were taught regarding your former way of life to put away the old humanity, which is being corrupted in accordance with the deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of y'all's mind, and put on the new humanity, created to be like God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, y'all must put away falsehood and speak truthfully, each one to their neighbor, for we are members one of another. Y'all must be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on y'all's anger. And y'all must not give the devil an opportunity. The one who steals must no longer steal. Rather, he must work, producing with his hands something that is good. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word come out of y'all's mouth. But only that which is good for the building up of others as the need may be, that it may give grace to those who hear. Verse 30, y'all must not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom y'all were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, y'all must put away bitterness, all bitterness, wrath, anger, outcry, slander, along with all malice. Instead, y'all are to be kind with one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ forgave who?
Y'all.
God bless your heart. Father, thank you for just a fun time in your word that we can learn and grow, Father, and enjoy the blessing of being a child of yours. We no longer ever come into condemnation or sin consciousness, Father, and we can just enjoy the blessing of being a child of yours and figure out and find different ways to enjoy the process. And we pray for these things and for a great night. In Christ's name, amen.